God's people say? Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. Well, we are continuing our series looking at the words to remember, the scripture verses that are worth memorizing or otherwise committing to your heart. When life goes sideways on you, these are the verses from the Bible that can bring you strength, that can bring you comfort, and God's peace, which surpasses all understanding. This week we are looking at the Holy Spirit. I just want to do a quick poll here, so get ready to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you believe you completely understand the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Good news, you got a lot of company. Bad news, I'm in that company too. So this might be the blind leading the blind. I don't totally understand the Holy Spirit either, but we'll see what we can figure out together using two scriptures, Galatians 5 and Matthew 28, starting with Galatians 5. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And then Matthew 28. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, part of the process of becoming a Presbyterian pastor is that you have to get psychologically evaluated. It's as much fun as it sounds, especially if, like me, if your dad is going through the process at the same time and you get evaluated by the same person, and that evaluator brings out your dad's file as a reference while evaluating you, which, as a side note, could probably get this person's license revoked. But anyway, spoiler alert, I did pass the evaluation. I won't say whether I had to bribe them or not, but I did pass. But I did hit a few snags, probably because I was younger and less wise at the time, and I decided to have a little bit of fun with the process, which not many people do for a reason. So, for instance, there were some questions like, you know, do you believe that people are out to get you or out to steal your things? And I answered yes to some of those. And the evaluator asked me about that with concern. And I explained that at the time I lived in an apartment complex between two different parks. On one park is where people would purchase their illegal drugs. And the other park is where they would consume their illegal drugs. Now, if someone consumed and they were out and they wanted more, they would have to traverse back across my apartment complex. And I, just 2 weeks before, I had had my car window broken out for like $1.25 and change by someone making that trek. And then a week before, I had heard one of my seminary classmates scream out, "That's my car!" So I ran down, luckily I had shorts on, and ran out of bed and helped her drive off the person who was trying to steal her car. So I felt that was a strong yes, people are out to get me and steal my stuff. I'm not being paranoid, I'm being perceptive. But there were some other questions that I had some fun with as well. Do you ever hear voices in your head? Do those voices tell you to do things? Do they tell you to do things you don't want to do? And I explained those as well. Yeah, the Holy Spirit tells me to do things, and sometimes I don't want to do them. So clearly, that's a yes as well. The evaluator was not entertained. But they still passed me after I explained my reasoning. But it does, I think, bring up an interesting question. What's the line between hearing from the Holy Spirit and just hearing voices in your head? How do you know if you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit or just hearing your own voice and trying to make it holier than it is? In our first text today, we heard one of the most important ways that we can double check if what we are hearing is actually from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." That's interesting that the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us what Jesus has already said. So if you are wondering if the Holy Spirit is actually speaking or guiding you, it first has to pass the Jesus test. Is this something Jesus would have said or done or encouraged? If you can find a biblical example that's pretty direct, that's a nice bonus. You know you're on the right track, but it's not always that straightforward to find an exact, place where, would Jesus let my kids watch this Netflix series? That's a little harder to find in the Bible. But you can always start with the Bible. Or another way to think about this is, have you ever reached into the refrigerator and you pull something out and you're wondering, can I still eat this? Or is this spoiled? And there's a process you go through, right, to determine that. At first, you're going to look for the writing, right? You're going to see, is there an expiration date? Just a pro tip here, if the date has a 12, for December, hopefully there's a year on the end, because it might be last December. Just pro tip there, discovered that in college. So you look at the date, at the writing first. If you don't see the writing on it, maybe you check for mold. If you see mold, it's time to throw out the pizza sauce, right? And then finally, what's the last step in the process? Sniff test. I have almost no sense of smell, so this doesn't work for me. I get someone else to do that. But I've heard the people do the sniff test. And you can do that same kind of checking process in your life. You can check the writing first. Did Jesus say anything about this in the Bible? If you can't find that, then you have to ask, does it pass the Jesus sniff test? Would Jesus recommend this or do this or say this? That's the Jesus sniff test, if you will. And if you need a little more guidance, though, on what are the components of the Jesus sniff test, our reading today offers a great summary. The fruit of the Spirit is a very famous passage from the Bible, but first let's talk about fruit. My younger son, Caleb, picked out a strawberry plant early in the season, and we warned him, this isn't maybe the most likely place for strawberries to grow, and we don't know what we're doing for caring for it, so don't expect too many strawberries, we warned him. But we were wrong. Even with all this snow, it is still trucking. I had to bring it in last night with all of these partially red, buds all over it. It's still trucking. And he keeps very close tabs on it. He's letting us know, this one's still white. This one's starting to get a little red. I caught Charlie trying to eat one right off the, off the vine earlier. So it's like his pride and joy. But here's a question. I think you can get this question right. What kind of fruit is produced by a strawberry plant? Strawberry. Okay, good. All right, good. You're awake. What about what kind of fruit is produced by a banana tree? Banana. Okay. We're getting good. What about apple tree? Oh, wow. Oh, 3 for 3. Y'all are pretty good. Okay, and now there's a yogurt container out there that's got a strawberry and a banana on it. But is there a plant that grows both of those at the same time? If there is, I need it. But I have not seen it. No, there's one plant produces one kind of fruit. Are you with me? So in the same way, our passage today talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and fruit is singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit is only one. It is love. Then everything else that comes after love is explaining or expounding on what kind of love are we talking about. So a person who is filled by the Holy Spirit naturally produces the fruit of love. But we can describe a strawberry, right? It's red, it's bumpy, it's got this weird green thing on the top. In the same way, love looks like joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are describing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Now, we've talked about this before, but just a quick reminder. In the Bible, in Greek, there's different words for love, for different kinds of love. In English, we are deficient. We use the same word to say, I love my parents, I love my spouse, I love my children, I love a movie, I love my pizza. The same word for all of those different things, right? It's very confusing. But in Greek, there are different words for those things. And this word, love, refers to love by choice. I often summarize it as wanting the best for someone else, no matter what they've done or who they are, and also being willing to help. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what this word, love, means. And also, Jesus once said that God is love, Same word there. So that's the kind of love that we're talking about. So you can use the fruit of the Spirit to determine if something in your life or something you're hearing you think is from the Spirit, you can, this is the Jesus sniff test. Does it produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, and love that looks like these things? Does it result in love that wants the best for someone else, no matter what they've done or who they are? And is that love demonstrated by actions? Does that love produce joy that transcends all circumstances? Does that love produce peace which surpasses understanding? Does that love demonstrate the same patience that God has toward us? Does that love provide basic kindness and blessing to everyone you encounter? Does that love seek the best that God has to offer a person? Does that love demonstrate commitment, especially toward God's mission and purpose? Does that love remain visible on bad days as well as good? Does that love demonstrate discipline over time? That's a way to think about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. If you're still not sure about the Holy Spirit, here's another way to notice the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you remember maybe sometime looking up at the mountains, not on a snowy day, a day you can actually see the mountains, and noticing, you know, their majesty? Maybe you looked at the sky and saw the sky as God's canvas, and you know, the rays of sunlight of a sunrise or a sunset are the color palette of this amazing scene. Do you remember maybe lifting up a prayer of thanks to God for the beauty of creation? If you can remember that, it was the Holy Spirit who prompted you to see with God's eyes and also prompted you with that idea to lift up a prayer of thanks. That was the Spirit. Or maybe, do you remember sitting in a hospital room with your child or with a loved one, and as the minutes stretched into hours waiting to even be seen, somehow, do you remember having far more patience than normal as you tried not to add to your loved one's burden by being short with them? That extra patience you didn't have within you, that was the Holy Spirit. Or maybe do you remember when your relative or your spouse or your child or a loved one died and you thought, I'll never breathe again. And yet you did. The ability to breathe when life has squeezed all the oxygen out of you, that is the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when someone's name popped into your head and so you stopped by or you gave them a call and they desperately needed that call? Do you remember suddenly noticing that someone was in need and then you had the will to step in and help? When you have God's eyes to see and God's will to act, that is the Holy Spirit opening your eyes. Do you ever remember thinking, I didn't know I had that in me? Maybe you didn't, and it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can remember moments like these, maybe you can't, but either way, there is one fundamental question for all of us. Do you want more of that in your life or less of that in your life? Do you want more love or less? Do you want more joy or less? Do you want more peace or less? Do you want more patience or less? Do you want more kindness or less? Do you want more generosity or less? Do you want more faithfulness or less? Do you want more gentleness or less? Do you want more self-control or less? I mean, can you imagine praying a prayer like this? God, I want you to transform my life. Please help me to be more bitter. I want to store up all my anger and then snap at people. Oh God, help me to be meaner. Help me to be stingier with my time and my talents and my finances. I want to be known, oh God, as a person who does the bare minimum. I want to be known as a person with no foundation who can be shaken at the smallest thing and led astray. Help me, oh God. Is that a prayer that you want to pray? I've heard a lot of things as a pastor. I've never met anyone who wanted that to be their prayer. If, on the other hand, you want to be the kind of person who exhibits the fruit of the Spirit, how are you listening the Spirit? How are you inviting the Spirit to work in your life? I mean, Caleb's strawberries, they need to be planted, they need to be tended, they need to be harvested to become edible fruit, right? How are you tending the garden of your soul so that the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love? I've shared before that I've been doing the same basic journaling practice for a number of years. That's how I primarily try to communicate with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's all digital, of course, because I'm me. And I have a table of contents for this whole period of years. And it has, you know, the date, it has a title for the entry, and the scripture verses that I used to come up with this journal entry. If you think that sounds geeky, you're right, and you're also probably not surprised. But I was reviewing my table of contents recently, and like everyone, I've got seasons of life, right? Sometimes seasons feel like spring, and there's new life, and there's excitement. Other seasons of my life feel like winter, where everything feels dead and barren. And as I reviewed my table of contents last week, I realized many of the winter seasons lined up with the gaps in my journal. It's as if I get out of the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit, and that's when I lose focus, lose direction, and lose vitality. It's only when I realize my mistake and return to intentionally listening to the Holy Spirit that my soul finds a new direction. But curiously, during those emptying times, during those winter seasons, that's when I feel like I don't have the energy to listen to the Spirit, even though listening to the Spirit is the only thing that can grant me the energy I need in those difficult times. Kind of a chicken and egg problem. Anyone else ever experienced that? If you're not feeling loving right now, if you're not feeling joyful, if you're not feeling at peace, if you're not feeling kind, if you're not feeling generous, if you're not feeling faithful, if you're not feeling gentle, if you're not feeling like you have self-control, I encourage you, even though you don't think you have the energy, make the time to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is what gives us those things in our lives. Tend the garden of your soul, especially when it feels barren. That's what will cause new growth. Maybe it's journaling like I do. Maybe it's just taking a few minutes each day to, Holy Spirit, please speak to me. Everyone can pray that prayer. If you want the fruit of the Spirit and you don't feel it right now, make the time to cultivate the garden of your soul, and the Spirit will bring forth the fruit in your life. Sisters and brothers, the Holy Spirit may be hard to fully understand. I think we're all on the same page about that. But the Spirit can be seen wherever the fruit of love is produced. And that fruit, that love, looks like joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you want more of that in your life or less? If you want more of that kind of fruit in your life, ask the Spirit to make it happen. Listen for what the Spirit says. Are you ready to see what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up in your life and produces fruit? Amen.